I have received word from Yehuda Kellerhouse that he has something he would like to share with all of you. So I am going to invite him to do so.
Thank you. I'm just going to set my timer here because I want to not draw it out too long. First of all, I just want to pray, Lord, I pray that you would deliver your message to everyone who's listening, wherever they are, whether here in this virtual meeting or somewhere else in the world, Lord. And I pray that you would use me and that you would just burn up the dross and purify your people, Lord, that we would be a pure people that seeks after the things of the Lord and seeks after hearing your voice, Lord, that you would touch the hearts of everyone here. Heal, Lord, heal, bring sanctity and bring breakthrough. So I've never titled a message, I don't think. I haven't given many messages before, but this is called The Lord of Breakthrough. So lately the Lord has been speaking some very hard things to me. But it says in Hebrews 12:10 that God disciplines us as sons and that it is for discipline that we endure. And I guess this may not seem related, but I was speaking to a friend about my tendency towards depression. And this friend told me to ask God to take it from my life, to seek for breakthrough, basically. And I told this friend that, well, I hadn't been doing that and I hadn't believed for breakthrough in that area and probably other areas in my life. And it had been probably the week before, well, it was the week before that moment that I had been reading from, I read from 2 Samuel 5:20 and God was speaking this word to me about breakthrough. So you can turn with me if you like to 2 Samuel chapter 5, and I'm going to read from verses 17 to 25. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek out David. And when David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines came and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. Then David inquired of the Lord, saying, that's important there in verse 19. Then David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand. So David came to Baal Perazim and defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters. Therefore, he named that place Baal Perazim. And it has the note in my Bible says that that means Baal Perazim means the master of breakthrough. And let's see, I was going to read until verse 25. They abandoned their idols there. So David and his men carried them away. Now the Philistines came up once again and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go directly up, circle around behind them and come at them in front of the balsam trees. It shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall act promptly. For then the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. Then David did so, just as the Lord had commanded him, and struck down the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. And so what really struck me in this passage was especially the word about the master of breakthrough. God is the Lord of breakthrough, and I wasn't believing for it. And but what I really noticed, more than that, I noticed in this passage that David, first of all, he seeks God before he goes into battle, and he says, Lord, should I go into battle? Then he listens to the Lord. The Lord says, I will give him into your hand, and he goes into battle. And then in the second battle that takes place, the Lord, he asks again, shall I go out? And the Lord says, yes. And then the Lord gives him specific instructions. He says, don't go out directly, don't go directly up, circle behind them. And so, and you know, listen for the sound of marching on the tops of the trees. So he does all this, and that is how he gets victory. So, let's see. So that struck me. He follows the Lord's directions, and the Lord has been speaking that to me over the months and over the years. It says there's no temptation that has. We are all tempted by things, right? And that with every temptation, God provides an escape. And in my particular, not my particular case, but in everybody's case, the Lord gives us specific ways out of those temptations. And so that's really what I think God was talking to me in that moment. And so the point is that victory comes when we are listening to God and following, when we are following the exact route that he tells us to go on. And so then I was reading this morning in Isaiah 30, and I'm just going to read verses 1 through 2. It says, woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but not mine, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh, and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Okay, and then I'm going to read verses 9 through 14. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to seers, you must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words, prophesy illusions. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. And so then it goes on, and this is the point I want to get to. In verse 19, it says, O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to read in verse 18. It says, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. And in verse 19, this I want to say that this is where I saw the breakthrough. I saw breakthrough again as I was reading this morning. O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it whenever you turn to the right or to the left. And you will defile your graven images overlaid with silver and your molten images plated with gold. You will scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, be gone. And that's the breakthrough I saw, is this the breakthrough in idolatry. So So I, you know, lately I've been listening for the voice of the Lord. I'm telling you, I can say more with confidence now than I ever can that He does speak to me. He does speak to me, and He gave me this chapter this morning. I was trying to listen and trying to hear the voice of the Lord, and I heard Isaiah 30. I read Isaiah 30, and this is what I'm speaking to you right now. And it's happened before. I don't know how much time I have here according to my clock. I have 5 seconds for the 10 minutes that I put on. Hold on. So I just wanted to quickly say that I've been skeptical of whether or not I could hear the Lord in the past. And he's really showing me. I just want to give a quick story. I'm taking a class, a biology class right now. And I hadn't studied very much. I hadn't really read much. But of the things I did read, I just prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, just help me to be able to answer the things that I've studied for. And I decided to, and a certain question that I didn't know the answer to, I decided, I was tempted to look up the answer on the internet. And I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. And I think the Lord saw that. And I heard this page number come to my head. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's weird. And then I had my book open. So I went to the page. On that very page. Was the answer to the question, the very specific question that I was looking for on my test. So I can say God has been speaking to me, and He does, if you open your ears, He wants to speak to you, and that's His desire for everyone. So I'll just say that. I do trust that God has been speaking to me and that it's possible for us to hear Him. And so... So some of you know that I broke my wrist a while back in 2017, and I was out of work for 9 months. And I took it at the time as directly from God. It was a freak accident. I was playing soccer with the kids that I take care of, and I was a goalie. The only time I ever goalied with them. And a kid hit the ball, kicked the ball from about 10 feet, hit the top of my wrist. My wrist came inward, and I fractured several bones. And I had peace at that time. It was very interesting. I had peace that this came from God, that this breaking came from God, the fracture came from God. And throughout that experience, I saw God healing my heart from idolatry as He was healing my wrist. And, you know, there were times where I said, Lord, you know, how long does this healing have to take? How long, Lord? And you know, I could see my heart in the state of my, it's the same state of my wrist. But, you know, I had people pray for me, and I had peace. He was taking care of me the whole time, monetarily and otherwise. And my wrist healed. There was the particular bone that was fractured was a very difficult bone to heal because there's only one blood vessel that goes to it. And blood, as I'm learning in my biology class now, is essential for the first part of the healing of the bone. It has to form a hematoma, I believe it's called hematoma, between the pieces of the bone that are broken. And that's the first step in the healing process of the bone. So anyhow, it says here in Isaiah 30, verse 26, in the same chapter I was reading, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be 7 times brighter, like the light of 7 days. On the day the Lord binds up the fracture of His people and heals the bruise He has inflicted. And so I just want to remind you of the of Hebrews that I mentioned before about it's for discipline that we endure. And the Lord does bring fracture, and the Lord does bring breaking, and it's for the purpose of healing. And So I'm believing more for breakthrough, and I know that a lot of us are struggling. I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one who struggles with depression. I'm not the only one who struggles with anxiety. And I'm just more believing for it. And I think I'm going to stop what I'm speaking now. And I had it on my heart to play this song that I actually translated from Spanish to English. And so I would like to sing it for you. And I just encourage you in this time that I play it to really go to God and listen to the words and to seek for the breakthrough that only comes from listening to his words, hearing his voice in the first place, and following through with what he says. And I pray that for myself. I'm speaking to myself. I'm not completely there. I'm not all the way there, just as everyone here is not all the way there. And when I mean all the way there, I mean breakthrough. I'm not all the way at the end of the breakthrough. Things are starting in my life. God's working in my life, and I'm sure he's going to work in your life as well, as long as you're listening to his voice. Okay, so I'm just going to share something, a screen with you, with the lyrics. Even as the time passes by, I know your word will be fulfilled. Nothing in you will be lost. This will my assurance be. Your cords of love, they fell over me. Your cords of love, they fell over me. It's your love that sustains me, your love that lifts me up, your love that gives me peace, it's my security. It's your love that sustains me, your love that lifts me up, your love that brings me peace, it's my security. And come what may come, you are in control. You never lose control.
Amen and amen. It is quite clear that the Lord speaks to people, isn't it? And so unmute yourselves and applaud for what the Lord is doing in Judah.
Yeah.
Woo. Yes. Thank you, Judah.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you, Judah.
Thank you.
I just made it, Judah.
got back online because something happened. Everything froze up, and I was online to hear you. That was great.
So, I got confused about what being online to hear Judah meant. So anyway, I'm trying to get my thought back here. Cry out to God, everybody, about everything. And, you know, the passage Judah mentioned from Hebrews is one of my favorite passages. And I just wanted to comment that the word discipline seems to have a really negative flavor for a lot of people. And of course, there are aspects and connotations of it and types of discipline that are negative, I guess. But basically, in terms of what the Lord does, it's really just the refining of the good things He made a person to be. And the honing of the skills He gave them so that they can use them for His glory. And at the same time, you know, sometimes people feel bad that God seems to get all the credit. But it's not really exactly the case. God does give credit to people. Everything came from Him. We came from Him to begin with. We didn't make ourselves. But He does praise His disciples, and He rewards them. And so there is a proper way in which we can praise people for what God has done in them and how they are using what He's done in them and making themselves available. So It's proper to praise what is worthy of praise. So, you know, I really appreciate what you shared, Judah. It was very, I think it was very clear. And I'm assuming that it spoke to everyone. With the time that we have left, let's see, it's 12:36. I'll probably try to shorten whatever I'm about to do a little bit. I mentioned studying Pirkei Avot with everyone, which is the Ethics of the Fathers. It's part of the Mishnah, and so I thought in lieu of that, even though you didn't all say you had any interest, I'd just share a tiny little snippet from Pirkei Avot with all of you without discussion. But what it does is it reveals something very important about classical rabbinic Judaism. But unfortunately, we're not going to discuss just exactly what that is until maybe later if someone brings it up. But I'll just read it to you. This, of course, is an English translation. My Aramaic is not that good, so I have to settle. But then if I read the Aramaic, you wouldn't understand it anyway, most of you anyway. So here it is, Pirkei Avot 1, right at the beginning. Moses received the Torah at Sinai and transmitted it to Joshua. Joshua to the elders, and the elders to the prophets, and the prophets to the men of the great assembly. They said three things. Be patient. Be patient in justice. Raise many disciples. And make a fence around the Torah. So, what we can see in that is that I agree, being patient in justice, and in brackets there it says, be patient in the administration of justice. In other words, without speaking the volumes that could be said, be patient as you observe those that you think are doing wrong, those that you think are evil, and perhaps even the righteous that irritate you. Be patient in the administration of justice. Don't be hasty. And justice, in terms of justice is not the point. Justice by itself is pretty ruthless. And so be patient in justice. And I, of course, have reading a lot in, but I think in other portions of the Talmud, the rabbis would agree with me anyway. So be patient in justice, realizing that the Lord also is patient with you. Don't be harsh in your judgment and understand that God sees the heart and you just see the parts that you want to. Well, the way you want to, not just what you want to. And this is our tendency. And then if we're doing that, then it opens up the possibility of making many disciples, which Yeshua asked us to do when he ascended. And in the making of many disciples, if we aren't seeking justice in the right way, we will produce disciples that are mean, spirited, judgmental, and who shout curses at the people that Yeshua asked us to bring his love to. And I don't know if any of you have ever made big mistakes in your life and found that when you spoke harshly and called names to the people that you felt you were sent to, or maybe you didn't even know you were sent to them, that they didn't seem that interested in your message. Huh. Go figure. I don't get it. Right? Following me? Raise your hand if you're still awake. Okay. So anyway, and the last thing, make a fence around the Torah. Well, you know, I'm just going to build a fence around that one and not talk about it right now. Okay, so moving on. This week's Torah portion contains one of my most favorite things, because in case you don't realize it, secretly, in the quiet of my own little closet, I'm a mystic. But being a mystic is extremely dangerous. So I try to keep most of it to myself. And then at the same time, I try to run it by the Lord and see how often he shakes his head this direction and kind of goes, and then when he does that, I figure, well, okay, maybe I should be careful. So, but it occurs more than once, this thing about birds, two clean birds, cedar wood, hyssop, an earthen vessel, living water, and this ritual that gets performed. It's just, oh man, does it get me going. And I can't help but think always about those two goats, that one for the Lord and one for Azazel. And then the stories about the goats, and in one case, the shtetl where the goat comes back into the village. Because that's the one that the sins were put on, and then they would set it free in the wilderness. But during the time of, I think during Yeshua's life, what they did, you know what they did? They took that goat, and just to make sure nothing went wrong, they took it out and pushed it off a cliff. That's not exactly building a fence around the Torah, I don't think. But then, well, okay, I'll resist the temptation. So with respect to these two birds, there is something said in Safat the Met, which goes like this. If you want to know what that is, ask Noah later. He'll tell you. It says this: The birds are there to atone for two sins. The one that is slaughtered is there. So that one will cut himself off from idle chatter, and much more from evil talk itself. The bird that is set free is to prepare the mouth and the tongue to speak words of Torah. This bird points to pure speech, which is the very essence of the human being. Huh. That's interesting. I assume it's speaking of humanity before it fell. What was meant to be, and we must believe what can be, mouths that are like springs of clean water and not polluted water. So, and then it references the verse, man became a living soul, from Genesis 2:7. And it's translated here in this one translation, man became a living soul, or a speaking spirit. I think I agree with that, because I don't think that without your spirit, you can speak. So from the spirit must come what comes out of the mouth. So then moving along, I just with respect to speech, in our Haftarah this week, there is what I'm going to call the peril of doubt and negative prophecy. So this officer who hears the word about how much food there's going to be, he's not just, you know, like Miriam, for instance, when the angel came and she says something like, "Well, how can this be? You know, I'm not even been with a man, you know," which might sound like doubt, but there's something in the heart, right? And he speaks in a way that is very, I think what it boils down to is he's not going to believe what's been said. So he speaks against it. And there is a way in which speaking negative proclamations, I think, we might as well just think of it as prophecy coming from our mouth, whether that's what we think or that's what we're declaring. Negative words have power. So I'm just going to say that I think what we allow to come out of our mouth in terms of our statements and about things and about what will come about actually do have power. They bend our mind and they turn our eyes to one place or another, and that will determine our course. And it may very well determine the results we get. So when this man speaks a negative word that, of course, could have infected others and caused them to speak that way himself, he is then told, basically, well, what you've heard is going to come about, but you will not partake of it. And so, for him, what he declared became the truth. And not only did he not eat in a time of hunger, he got trampled to death. So, it should give us pause to really think about how we speak, and that there's power in our speech. And we should have great hope about the ability, as Judah is an example this morning. He spoke good out of a struggle that he's had. He spoke of his struggle. He spoke of ways that he's thought. But what he did was he took it and he aimed it in the right direction. He has inclined his ear toward the Lord, and he's telling himself to speak God's truth. And he's inviting you to come along with him and speak the truth too, that God will, in fact, speak to you. You will, in fact, hear him. He will, in fact, answer your cry. And he can bring us out of the things we struggle with and change the way we see, the way we act, and how we speak. So moving on from there, I was thinking this morning when we, I think often of it, but, you know, when we say, open my mouth, O Lord, how does it go? Open my mouth, O Lord, and I will declare your praise. Is that the word in ours? I was thinking, unmute me, O Lord, and I will declare your praise. And that's just exactly what happened in some cases. You know, I'm not sure how many there were, but we know of mute people whose mouths were opened by Yeshua, and then they proclaimed his praise. And muting and unmuting has become strangely important and present in this time we're going through. So anyway, I often think about that, and I think, well, open my mouth, O Lord, and my lips will proclaim your praise. I think we should just really think about it every time we come across it. We should probably be asking the Lord that every day. But thinking about whether we're really asking the Lord to do that, because if we're asking him to, he's going to open our mouth. And then when it opens, something's going to come out of it, right? So let's seek him for open mouths and seek him to put things in our mouths that ought to come out. Things that do good and not harm, things that build up and strengthen others. So, of course, as you've guessed, this all leads straight into the second chapter of 2 Timothy. I'm nothing if not predictable. So I'm going to read you part of this. And let me see. All right. Starting at the 11th verse, it says, it is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. I gotta say, I like words, and I gotta admit, I have wrangled about them on many an occasion. Sometimes when I try to stop wrangling about words, something happens and it just seems like I keep doing it. I don't know, there's something about words. But wrangling about words and getting into all kinds of topics of great intrigue and intensity sometimes just bring strife. It probably matters for us to really think about what we're bringing up, why we're bringing up, where it's going to go, and whether perhaps there's a better choice. So wrangling about words, I got to find my place again. Which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place. and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. I'm thinking about this thing about cleansing oneself here, and I just want to point out, I'm not sure what we always think when we read this passage and we get to verses 20 and 21, where it talks about being a vessel for honor. Because I was really just noticing, it's like, okay, well, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware. Now, it doesn't say that the gold and silver vessels, actually, it doesn't say, does it, that they're better than the wooden and earthenware ones? It doesn't say in this passage that wooden and earthenware vessels are meant for dishonor, does it? It just mentions different kinds of vessels. And within this whole thing, I think there is this struggle. I mean, have you ever noticed the girl with straight hair wants the hair that the girl that has curly hair has? And that the curly hair girl wants the straight hair girl? No, I mean, I've run into this many times. I'm not saying it's always the case. Some women actually like the hair they got, and that's great. And some men, you know, wish that they were tall like this other guy because they think of themselves as short. And some guys that are really tall, and I'll tell you this is true, they walk around and they get hunched and they go lower because it's hard for them to be that tall. And they feel like there's something wrong with them. And they try, even if they're not thinking about it, to get down to the level of somebody else. And in some cases, I think it actually damages their spine. I'm speculating, but it seems quite likely. So the point being that no matter who we are, no matter what God gave us, no matter what we think he did not give us, we as human beings have an incredibly great propensity to wish that it was otherwise. Have you noticed that? So when you read the passage, if you have thoughts like this, well, yeah, there are some really nice golden vessels, and I really wish I was golden, but I'm wood. I think the Lord's inviting us all to appreciate us as the person he made. He made us as he chose. He fit us perfectly for what he's got for us. And then not to think that what the passage is talking about is deciding whatever kind of vessel we think would be the best and then turning ourselves from one into another. Rather, just we are the vessel that we are. And what can happen with any vessel, because it's talking about people, it's humanity that's the point. It's you and me that's the point. So Therefore, if anyone cleanses themselves from these things, they will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. You don't have to become a different sort of vessel. It's just the vessel cleanses itself. So now we don't cleanse ourselves exactly. The blood of the Lamb cleanses us. But the Lord invites us along with him to cleanse ourselves. We don't do any atoning work, but once we see what he's done and he shows us things in our heart, we can actively, along with him, seek to do the things that cleanse. So we're partners in the cleansing, but I think sometimes people, I hear people talk this way sometimes too, that they're just waiting for the Lord to take care of it. Well, you know, he's worked atonement. He's given us a new life. He's made us new creations. But if I have a rotten attitude, for instance, if I just sit and pray for a better attitude, well, continuing to complain and grumble about the things that really irk me, or maybe even tell the Lord, well, you know, my attitude would sure change if you just changed these circumstances and this other guy. That's not really where the point is. But what I want to do is encourage you all to accept and realize that God knew just what he was doing when he made you as the vessel that you are. And that all he really desires is an open and honest heart that invites him in to do his cleansing, and then to help you do whatever cleansing he asks you to actively pursue in your own life. That will, it will make a huge difference. One of the things I'm noticing lately is what I see as Did I mention something about three victims earlier?
No.
I didn't think so. Oh. So getting back to speech, I mean, this is one thing I've been thinking a lot about just recently, is the way that we can have certain ways of viewing other individuals or groups of people. And the way we view them can shape how we speak of them. And the things that we allow ourselves to say about individuals or groups of people shapes the way we think about them and then the way we see them. And then it can begin to actually cause us to think of them as lesser in terms of their human value and worthy of contempt and judgment. And it's a really dangerous thing. Because first of all, if we judge others wrongly, it puts us in peril. But secondly, if we judge others wrongly, it puts the power of the love of Yeshua and the truth of the gospel in peril, because it renders us unable to speak the word of truth and cleansing to people that we have come to think of as hateful creatures. And there seems to be nothing worse than politics for this particular dynamic to grow in. And I think it's quite easy to become infected by. And I just heard marching in the treetops, or maybe it was an alarm. Did you hear it? Well, maybe you couldn't hear it. I don't know. So anyway, it says that gossip has three victims, the one being gossiped about, the one who gossips, and the one who listens. So I'm not sure if all of the stuff that I'm referring to is gossip. Maybe it is. Maybe maligning entire groups of people and their ideologies along with them is gossip. But in this in the process of cleansing in our Torah portion, there's spoken of the blood being placed in different on different parts of a person being cleansed. And I'm lacking for time, but I just want to end with it speaks in Hosea about being given the tongue of a disciple so that one could heal the weary with a word. That is the sort of tongue I would like to possess and not have another tongue also alongside of it in a case for when I need it. I'd like to just have that sort of tongue. And Yeshua says in one place that the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And this morning I just found myself thinking of, he was talking about in the world, but I found myself thinking about the blood being placed on, right toes and earlobes and different parts of the body and what it's about. And I just thought, well, the birds have nests, the foxes have holes. So where does the Son of Man reside? Where does he find a home? And have I allowed the blood to go to my ears, my eyes, my mouth, my feet, my hands, what I do, what I speak, what I hear, what I look at, into my mind, what I think, how I think, what I let come out of my mind, out of my mouth? And have I given him a place to lay his head anywhere in my entire being where he wants to lay his head? And he may not be so popular in the world, but I hope that he can lay his head on my bosom, just the way John laid his head on Yeshua's bosom. And I hope that there is no place within me or any of us where we essentially don't let the Lord walk, don't let the blood work, and don't let him lay his head if he wants to. He's asked us to bring a message of reconciliation and healing to the world, and in some cases to people who might seem very hateful to us. So when I look at the screens, I see faces and I see names. And the only kind of names and faces I see are those of people who can be carrying and administering the love and mercy and healing and truth of Yeshua to other people, no matter how misshapen they may seem, how unlovely they may seem, and even in cases where they are the last person that we want to have any contact with. The Lord can really change a heart to look at someone and feel love welling up rather than those other things when our eyes are open to see just the humanity, just the need, and that winning an argument means nothing, but the Lord can give the simplest little word to someone that's, maybe not eloquent, maybe doesn't think really fast, doesn't come up with a witty phrase. It really doesn't matter because that never wins anything. Just the one little thing that he has that he'd like to put in your mouth. And sometimes when I'm talking too much, he can't put it in my mouth because I don't give him enough room. And it can be a tiny little thing. It can seem stupid. And that one little thing changes everything. A phrase like this, for instance, from a loving face. You have spoken rightly. You don't have a husband. It cut right to everything. And then another one. Oh, you know, he looked at this guy with love. He says, oh, you've got it all. All you got to do is just go sell your stuff and give everything away and follow me. It's just a moment of truth where a person knows that it's God speaking to them and not just another person with another argument and another angle. So I just encourage you all to bring such things to the Lord. Pray for me. Pray for yourself. Ask the Lord to help us and to fill us all with his love and truth. And that when we get cut or broken, that nothing but the sweetness of Yeshua would come out. Amen.
Amen.
So, anyone want a blessing?
Yes.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'echunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you a big hug and all kinds of wonderful, great stuff and show you what a marvel you are. And bring you to peace. Be Maru.
Amen.
Amen.